Hey guys, Pan here. Terribly sorry, but due to a lot of life stuff hitting us all at once, we're having to postpone this week's episode. But don't worry, we'll be releasing an episode of our Patreon-exclusive sideshow, Banter Break. This will tide you over in the meantime, hopefully. We talk about movies, answer your questions, discuss really weird hypotheticals. Spoilers for Rebel Moon. It is definitely a movie of all time, and we talk about it a lot. So, please enjoy.
Inside.
For clothes that Tristan loves. At Bold 3 Detergent Plus Fabric Softener.
Join us once again.
It's Banter Break. You join us once again.
Hell yeah.
Myself, RJ, and Cy. Thank you guys for listening. And also, today we're going to talk about, I would say this, the sci-fi project of the year, I would say.
The sci-fi project of the...
Of the millennium?
Of the moment.
Yeah.
Of last week,
the sci-fi project of the well that exists.
Yep, that was a thing.
So those of us who were with us last week, we did a last week, you know, to whatever this is now we're doing. We did a movie night, which we want to try and do a bit more regularly. We'll try and get around to them, and we watched Rebel Moon. So thanks for joining us. We did. Rebel Moon is a film by Zack Snyder. Now, I could be wrong. I think I heard this right, but it was originally scripted as a Star Wars project. But then when the sequels didn't do so great, a lot of Star Wars projects got scrapped, and he took it over to Netflix, where it became Rebel Moon. It's very obvious it's a Star Wars project originally. But we'll get into it. RJ, why don't you give us your Rebel Moon thoughts.
I was going to say, you know, sometimes you like you're in like an old shopping centre, and you see a building with the Pizza Hut roof and the Pizza Hut outline, and everything about it looks like it used to be a Pizza Hut, but now it's, like a print shop or something. That's what Rebel Moon feels like.
Right.
It's like, this was a Star Wars project. You can see where all the Star Wars stuff was supposed to go.
Yeah.
But they had to take that away because reasons and put something else there. And
I'd say more of a, shop than a print shop.
It's not a Pizza Hut. It's a vape shop now. But we all know.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I didn't, like, fangasm over it either. It was media. I can see what they were going for. Sorry?
It was definitely fine. Like, I wouldn't come away going like, wow, that was shit. Don't watch it. But I would be like, hey, look, if you're, like, a little drunk and you just want to, like, kill some time, it's fine.
Yeah. It was perfectly passable.
Yeah. You have to be a little drunk, though, because if you're completely sober, you spend the whole movie going, hey, that's from Star Wars. And then it kind of...
Yeah, you want to emulsify your brain just enough to not be able to spot every single reference the second it occurs.
Yeah,
it's the sort of thing you want to put on in the background when you're doing something else. Like,
it's great background stuff.
Yeah,
hanging out chatting.
Put stuff on in the background when I draw or paint sometimes. That's the sort of thing I'd have on in the background while I'm. Either working on the show or doing just a drawing.
Yeah.
And even then, I was rolling my eyes way more times than...
Cypher was... I'm glad we didn't record because Cypher was, like, getting mad at this movie.
Yeah.
About halfway through.
About halfway through, I just checked out because it was just like, okay, it's doing this now. Saw it coming
now and then,
Cypher
would go from being quiet to being like, that's bullshit!
I think there was one part, I think, where I was like, wait, why didn't they just X?
We should point out, guys, if you are listening to this, spoilers, I'll put it at the beginning of the report, but yeah, we are going to be doing spoilers, because that's the only way to really do these things. So, beware spoilers if you are going to watch Rebel Moon, and let's continue.
I don't even know if I can do spoilers at this point, because I remember so little of it.
I mean, if you've seen any movie from the last... 10 years, but where spoilers?
Sure, but I remember so little of it. It didn't make a dent in my subconscious that much.
I remember what annoyed me. Okay, so there's a bit in the film where the rebels are all hiding out with Captain Crabface, and the deal is Captain Crabface is the king of some planet made entirely of weird floating blocks. But I don't know. You can tell
Crabface.
The CGI budget.
Have some respect.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, shit. He was King Crabface. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so King Crabface, like, he decides to... Like, from what I glean, their backstory is this species that he is has a deal where they'll just be nice to anyone that turns up. They're kind of
the entire species of Red Cross.
They're the Skittermanders of like this universe. Right. Anyway, they decide to host all the rebels on their planet, knowing that like the Empire slash not Empire is after them. And so there's a part where the main characters all arrive and be like, yeah, come help us with our rebellion. And one of the guys specifically, one of the rebel leaders, specifically the other one, says, okay, we have to leave this planet now because there's no way these guys haven't been tracked by the Empire. And I know it's not the Empire,
she does, doesn't she? She literally says it.
And then, exactly one fucking scene later, he's still there on the planet that he knows is about to get bodied by the Empire. Like, oh, please, no, we are defenseless people. We don't harm anyone. Please leave us alone. Bitch, why did you not leave? Did you not see this coming?
They were having so much fun standing around in a field throwing corn at the Earth in slow motion. That is just more fun than you know.
No, this is King Crab, who lived on like floaty CG.
Yeah, he lived on floaty rock land. But
that guy. Right, okay.
We should dial it back though, because we need to like go through.
Start from the beginning.
Yeah. So the movie begins with Korra. Is it Korra?
The movie begins.
Yeah, I remember it's Korra because I remember thinking Legend of Korra.
Yeah, right. So the movie begins with Legend of Korra, just living on a farm moon somewhere, just having a great old time, being very dirty and sweaty though. Everyone's dirty and sweaty.
Mm.
It's a farm.
That is one upside of the
farm. That's how you know it's a good time.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. You kept bringing that up. I was just like, yeah, they work on a farm. Of course they're
dirty. Because they were so sweaty and also dirty, but in like a aesthetic way.
If you've been working in a field for like 8 hours since 5 a.m, you're going to get dirty.
I'd watch Core work in a field for 8 hours. I think that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, who was the blacksmith dude they freed halfway through? Because I'd watch him work in a field for 8 hours.
Yeah, I'd watch him work in a field. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
He could plough my furrow.
Go right.
There was a lot of thirst trapping.
I'm allowed one horny comment per backyard session.
No, it's fine. We all got very horny about that. Actually, apart from Cypher.
What do you mean we?
Yeah, I said apart from Cypher.
The royal we, which includes you, Cypher.
Okay.
Sorry, you just have to be gay by proxy for this one.
That's fine. I don't mind.
Let's go back first. So Korra, main character, not Legend of Korra, is working on this moon farm. She's on the run from the big bad guys because she should be one of them. And these guys are basically. If the Empire in Star Wars was too subtle for bad guys, these guys look like Warhammer Nazi dudes.
Yeah.
Like, they make it very clear.
Like, I was going to say, short of full-on Sieg Heiling, this is, like, I can't even joke when I say they are Nazi uniforms with different things, and then
they do the scene from Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, they do the very much the, hi, I'm just here to just chat. I'm just here to chat, guys. I'm just a nice Nazi guy here to chat. And, oh, you disagree? Murder.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, can we have all of your grain? No? Well, then.
Actually, on that point, just quickly, what was the significance of the leg bone? The leg bone stick? Because it comes up so much in there.
Yeah.
And it's destroyed. And again, spoilers. It's destroyed at the end. So will we ever find out why the guys just carried a leg bone around with them?
Well, it seems like it's some kind of, like, object of status, because the spoilers again, the bad guy king has one at the end, but his is cooler with lightning. It seems like it's his signature thing. It's his lightsaber, if you will. Because this guy, the bad guy, who, you know, I'll give him props for this, right? When he gets mad, he doesn't say, Johnson, shoot that guy. He just goes over, picks up this huge oaken leg bone thing he's carried around with him, and just beats the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Like, in the future, with lasers and weird gun cattle things, this guy goes old school and just beats you up with a big stick, which I can respect.
Yeah, that's true.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. Anyway, he beats the shit out of the chief with a big stick and then just fucks off and says, I'm going to take all your grain in like 10 weeks. Peace. Which is actually pretty good, because I did think he was going to go for the young guy. I thought he was going to like take out the young guy and then leave the leader.
Yeah.
That was interesting. But you couldn't kill him because he was hot and young and main character. So,
yeah,
you
know. He's hot and young. They put him on the poster. So
he's on the poster, yeah. So they fuck off. They leave behind some soldiers. And these soldiers are, again, like, in case you weren't sure they're bad guys, they're super bad guys. They've got, like, the dirtiest South African accents. Mm. But not, like, what's that guy's name from the Marvel movies? Claw? You know, Ulysses Claw from the Marvel movies? Yeah, they just sound like, hi, I'm here to murder and pillage people. Because that's the accent they've given me.
Yeah, as I say, we have almost got the trifecta of bad guy accents, because we've got British, We've got South African, but we don't have German.
Gotta say, though, I'm getting pretty sick of seeing the trope, and it is a trope, of every single bad guy character doing a sexual assault in every.
Yeah, that's another thing as well. It was like, I'm already aware these guys are bad, right? They've come down, they've taken over this guy's car. I don't need to see that. On the first night, tried to sexually assault some random girl.
Yeah.
In fact, it wasn't even the first night, it was like the first like hour, because they start making kissy faces at her, and then like that evening they try to sexually assault her. I'm just like, I already understood they were bad guys. I don't care if they die. I don't need to make them more bad.
And then the slave owner does exactly the same thing. He owns slaves. That's enough. I get it. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, no. The slave owner is just a slave owner. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, but you don't need to. You don't need to make him horny as well.
Rapey.
That was and him. Guy. There were three cases of sexual assault in this. First
four
episode.
If you count the tentacles. We don't know.
Four if you count.
No, that was consensual. That's consensual.
Was
that was
it?
I mean, like,
I don't think those tentacles could pass the Harkness test.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's go back a bit. So after what was the guy's name? Noble, the head Nazi bad guy. Leaves some of these soldiers behind. They try to assault a girl, but they're stopped by Cora, our main character, who jumps in and slow-mo beats them all up because these guys just can't shoot for shit, apparently.
I know. There's a bit
in a
where
tiny room.
It's the problem with filming scenes where you've got a lot of people with guns and you want your one badass character to fight them all is that there's genuinely a bit where there's a guy in the background standing there with a gun watching her body all his colleagues. And doesn't even aim it at her until, like, it's his turn.
Yep.
It's like, it's
combat.
Actual turn-based combat. It's like, no, you're... And on top of that, the other bad South African who's got the gun to the girl's head, like, he has the gun to the girl's head in the background the entire time that fight has gone on. And we know he doesn't give a flying fuck about his men because he has one of them beaten up just for, like, mild insubordination. So he doesn't give a...
Oh, that's another thing as well. Yeah, they beat up their own dudes just really harsh for, like, nothing.
Yeah.
There's a bit where they get a robot out and they're like, oh, the robot's out, good. And then the guy just starts shooting it.
Proper
like,
Saturday
your
morning
robot?
Cartoon
shit.
Yeah, actually, that's the point. What happened to that one defector one? Like, he's not in the rest of the film, is he?
Yeah, okay, so we should mention as well, there's one guy who doesn't have a South African accent, therefore he must be okay, who's like, hey, we probably shouldn't, like, sexually assault people. And they go, shut up, nerd, and they beat the shit out of him.
Shut up, nerd.
Yeah. And then he just never turns up again, I guess. At some point, Cora leaves him. When she goes off, she leaves him with the village people. The village people. The villagers.
It's fun to say.
Yeah, she leaves him at the YMCA. But, yeah, he's just not there when they go back. It's like, oh, okay, it's weird.
I guess if you're in a fight scene and you're getting all of your guys taken out, it's so much fun to just stare at the slow motion grain being thrown onto the ground by the farmers.
Cypher hates his grain.
it's in every fights. Single fight scene as well. It's like, whoa, slow, quick, slow, quick. Because that has
that's a Zack Snyder thing.
That was just, it was classy and epic since like the first time I saw it in 2013, and nothing has changed since then.
Yeah. Okay, so they, Cora goes, hey, these guys are going to come back and absolutely fuck us up. I'm going to go get some help. I'm going to take the dude who got the village elder killed because, I don't know, I guess.
Oh, no, come. Because he knew where to get the rebels because he was selling them the wheat.
That's right, yeah. He'd been selling the rebels grain, which never came up, by the way. Like, the bad guys come down, they're like, give us your grain. We know you sold some grain, but we don't seem to care that much, so...
I don't think they actually knew that he'd been selling grain to the rebels because...
Did they not?
No, because there's a deal when a bald guy, before he gets murked, is like, if they found out that you're selling grain to... like the rebels, what do you think they do to us?
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right. Okay, so she takes what was that guy's name? Maybe remember?
Cassian Andor. His name's not Cassian
the
Andor.
The human equivalent of the generic black-haired anime guy.
Oh, that one. Oh, General Titus.
No, I'm talking about like, he was like the most generic main character you could get with a human being. Very much the exposition guy. But anyway, so they go to a spaceport where they go to a cantina. They go to a cantina at a spaceport where they meet not Han Solo. Irish dirty Han Solo.
Yeah, with a badass spaceship though.
With a badass spaceship which
excellent
I would
spaceship
not
design.
Stop just absolutely jizzing over the whole
No,
show.
I would not. And I'm not apologising for that.
So we don't know what the ship called? Do we know what the ship was called?
No. That one.
Well, it was a cool ship. But before we get to that, we get to another rapey dude who wants to buy Cassian for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah. He's like, how much? And Legend of Korra goes, he's not for sale. So this guy goes, well, rather than walk outside and buy someone somewhere else, I'll just fight you for it. And him and three guys have a gunfight.
And not even that, because he gets bodied, first of all. And then he's like, well, this should be a hint. Like, firstly, this character is emitting main character particles all over the place. Take the hint. But he's like, he comes back, like, with a bunch more guys, and is like, aha, I brought a bunch more guys for you to beat up. And then they get beat up. Don't know what you're hoping to achieve with this.
Like, your buddy coming out and going, like, hey, RJ, I need your help to come fight some people. Wow, what happened? Well, I was going to try and rape this dude, but she wouldn't let me, so obviously we're going to take her out.
Wait a minute.
Like, you're on my side, right?
Well, so, only because it's you.
Yeah, exactly. But, of course, they all get bodied, and Dirty Han Solo... I can't say Dirty Irish Han Solo, that's not what I meant. Irish Han Solo, who needs a...
Oops!
Yeah, that's not what I meant. I apologise. Just everyone in this movie needs a wash. I don't understand. And only one of them gets one.
It's and even then they do a crap job, because they don't clean him up properly.
They just pour water on his head and go...
That's she's like, that's enough. And it's like, no, it isn't. He's still got mud on his face and his head.
It's like they applied the technique from the ships in Star Wars to the people in this one. It's like, oh yeah, everything has got to look like dirty and lived in.
Yeah, these guys all look like shit. God, what's his name again? Irish Han Solo. Irish Han Solo.
Yeah.
Irish Han Solo goes, I'll fly you around. I know a bunch of people. We can get this done. And then we just get like it should be a montage. I think we watched the video before where they mentioned it. It was like, imagine... You know, a heist movie where they go and get all the guys and like, you son of a bitch, I'm in. And that's like a 20-minute thing. That's the movie. That's the whole movie. And it's not bad. The movie's full of really interesting set pieces that you wish you got to know anything about. There's a whole bit where they go to this cool, like, above the atmosphere, it's all this, like, Akaton, like, if you listen to Blood and Sand, you'll know what I'm talking about there. An industry, lots of, like, you know, like, massive... rusting pipes and things, and then below it's just kind of cyberpunk sprawl, and that's where we meet Nemesis, who is, in my opinion, the coolest character on the team, and says seven words.
Weeb.
She's got a cool hat. She's got lightsabers.
She does not have a cool hat. She has a disproportionate hat. Is what she has.
You guys are mad about this hat. I'm telling
she
you.
She has the tiniest fucking hat.
Just don't understand fashion. It's a fascinator.
It's not a fashion statement. She went to Oxfam and picked one that she thought would fit, and then she took it home. She was like, "Shit, this doesn't fit. I'm gonna have to make a look out of it."
It's also made of candy floss.
Yeah, a stiff breeze would have taken that hat.
A stiff breeze would have knocked it off, and if it falls in a puddle, it's gonna dissolve.
Okay, well, look, you know what, guys? I like the hat. If you're listening to this now and you want to put in the comments real quick, nice hat.
Hey, we're cool. Like the hat. It's just dumb.
Yep. It's a cool hat. Let's move on. We're moving on from the cool hat. So Nemesis and a cool hat. Actually, she takes off her hat. Nemesis takes off her cool hat to kick the shit out of Spider.
Because it's useless.
She's going to get dirty. It's a nice hat.
That hat was more holes than that. But anyway.
She kicks the shit out of Spider. Anyway. And then she also forgets to turn her lightsabers on for like half the fight.
So you can do the dramatic reveal.
No, I mean, I get it, but you could have done that at the start of the fight.
You need a time to turn up the badass moment when you're introducing a character like that.
It's fine to be like, I'll handle this, step forward, lightsabers come on, job done. It's like she just literally forgot to turn on. But I did like, and they kind of glossed over it, she's got these cool mech arms.
Wait, she had mech arms?
Yeah. There's a point where the spider stabs through her arm and it just, like, sparks.
Ah, I missed that. I'm normally good, but, like...
Oh, I'll find it for you. But I don't know if she's actually, like, you know, maybe she's, like, android all through, or she just had, like, cool android arms or whatever, but she had that going on.
Yeah, I missed that.
I vibed with. You slept in her arms, dude. But she was, probably my favourite of the... I'd say of the crew, but she didn't say more than seven words, so I guess she's my favourite looking.
Someone pointed that in the review that we were looking at for that. It's like, yeah, they never actually recruited her. It's just... they went there, watched her beat the shit out of Spider, and then she's
didn't
just
help,
following
by the
them
way.
Around
didn't
after
help her
that.
Fight the spider.
And it's also heavily implied that she's, like, the protectorate for that district, because she's doing all this to get back this, like, some stolen kid. So it's like, well, my duty is to protect this area and like make sure the people are alright. But you know what? Fuck it, road trip.
Like, I feel like if they've made a point of saying, like, look, everywhere we go is fucked because of the Empire, then they'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll come fight the Empire. If it was like that spider had been seduced by the Empire, or a blacksmith guy had been captured by the Empire, you know, something to make him more time all in together with mutual hatred. As it was, just kind of like, hey, you're not doing anything right now. And you know, in fact, I will let RJ do the Conan guy bit because I know he's got a lot to say for it.
Shit, what was his name? Prince something.
You don't even remember his name.
Yeah,
I mean, RJ. Okay, things that are important about this guy. He's topless for most of the movie. Ripped
and
as fuck.
Don't even remember his name.
Yeah.
Prince, who cares? Prince like candy.
Prince ripped topless mans.
Yeah. Yeah, like, his whole deal is somehow he... Actually, did they say how he ended up, like, in debt to random dude?
I think he literally just says, like, I made some bad decisions, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's like, no, okay, right. For plot-dependent reasons, he is currently involuntary servituting, he's a prisoner with a job.
Oh, his name's Tarek. His name's Tarek Decimus. Prince Tarek Decimus.
Okay, yeah, Prince Eye Candy. So, yeah, his whole deal is that apparently he's famous and a prince. What's he the prince of?
He's Prince Tarek Decimus of Samandrai.
Okay. I know that it was important that he was a prince for some reason.
No, it wasn't. That's the worst part. Isn't. It wasn't important he was a prince. Oh, he's a prince, and we went, oh.
Oh, I thought the whole deal was that there was some kind of lineage thing going on with the actual king. Because, the plot is there's a king, he dies, and he's taken over by space Nazis. But the king may also have been a space Nazi. They're very unclear about this.
He may have also been the victim of some kind of coup or insurrection.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of unreliable narrator going on.
He was like on board with the space Nazi stuff until the space Nazis Nazi'd him.
Yeah, the robot kind of gives a little bit of a plot drop at the beginning, but you're not sure if we've got some unreliable narrator going on. Like,
yeah, because they're like, ah, he was a good, just and kind king, and he did everything right, and he was awesome. And then later on, you see him fully on space Nazi-ing. But then also later on, you see his daughter being, like, super chill and making animals come back to life and stuff. So.
Oh, yes, and his daughter has space magic. She can bring
his daughter can
life.
Use the Force, yes.
Okay.
TM.
I gotta tell you guys, listeners at home, this bit, because we had a whole thing about this afterwards. This movie, being Star Wars-esque, does have space magic. It does have the Force. And whilst I didn't have a problem with that at first, Cypher made a good point that they don't tell anyone it's the Force or any kind of magic. They're just like, his daughter can do this. She can... I don't know, she brings a bird back to life.
Yeah, it isn't set up at all. It's just like, oh yes, and there's space magic. It isn't like, oh yes, some say there is the mysterious power that flows through the universe.
If they'd met like Nemesis and she had space magic, you'd be like, ah, she's a space magic user. But this daughter, Princess Issa, is a more powerful space magic user. Like, oh, cool. Okay, got it. No problem.
Sure.
But they just kind of mention it offhandedly. You see a scene of her bringing a bird back to life, which, by the way, her own dog killed. Like, she said the dog in the bush.
Oh, yeah.
Killed the dog itself. Was she just practicing?
Yeah.
It was a very non-space dog, which also got Cypher back.
The fun thing is, it is just flat out an XL bully.
It's just a dog, yeah. It's just an XL bully dog.
And that's why they're banned, because it goes out and kills animals.
The reason it infuriated me is because you've got, like, a cool scene, like, in the beginning. You've got, like, weird alien horse-cow things. And I was like, okay, yep, that's cool. Then they go to, like, the Tatooine bar, and it's got a load of cool aliens in it. It's got, like, a Metroid creature.
Oh, I love the little...
Yeah, that is something, actually, that was really inventive.
Yeah.
That was very cool. Very interesting visually.
Thingy.
And then you get a griffin. And it's just like, oh, all right. Well, I suppose I'll let this one slide. And then you get a dog. Who kills a random bird on a planet that isn't Earth? And just
now,
like,
hold on. Does Star Wars have dogs?
Nope.
Are there no dogs in Star Wars? Really? Are there really no dogs in Star Wars?
Nope. There are dogs in Dune, but that's fine because it's meant to be futuristic Earth.
Yeah, as I said, I don't think there are any dogs in Star Wars.
Yeah, are there dogs?
I don't think there are any pets in Star Wars.
Yeah, no,
no pets. No cats. No cats.
Are dogs and cats in Star Wars?
Yeah.
No, they're not. It's all weird little slug creatures and things. Like, I think Jabba the Hutt has got some. He's got some in like a bowl that he eats.
I think those are food. I don't think they count as pets.
Okay, they're dogs don't exist, but cats do exist. There are cats in Star Wars.
Cats or loath cats, because loath cats are definitely a thing.
Yeah, the one from oh god, what's it called? Rebels?
That's yeah, Rebels. Yeah, it's a Lothcat.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm reading an article now that says that there have been a cat in Star Wars. Oh, while they're not identical to real life cats, they're very similar.
Oh, and I guess there's Bonnie people as well, apparently.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they've been there.
If you count Visions, Star Wars
Bonnie people from years. From years ago. Star Wars Rebel people were called. Hold on, we have gone so far off track. They're called the Leppy. They're actually a race. They're green rabbit people.
I was actually going somewhere with this. Em and I had a discussion about it. We were saying that because of the way it was, and it was all Zack Snyder, it had to be sort of like super deadly serious and shit, and it was very derisive of other shit. But if it had been done like an old pulpy sci-fi from the 70s, you could have had Griffins in there. You could have had the Hero's Quest story.
That was very much like a John Carter of Mars type vibe.
Yeah, but if you do it like a 70s story, specifically, like a 70s sci-fi, people's argument would have been, oh, I don't know, that was very derisive, and you could have been, yeah, and?
Do you mean derivative?
I don't mind the Griffin being, I think it was fine having derivative, the Griffin in there.
Derivative
is making fun of.
Yeah.
I think the Griffin being in there was fine. Like, it's just an animal in space. The fact that it's a Griffin is unimportant. I think the main thing really was that magic wasn't explained in any way. Like, there's a bit where the girl says to the robot, wow, I heard she was magic, and he goes, she was. And it's like, actually magic? Or if he said that, yeah, she was strong in the ways of the not force, okay, there's a not force out there, that's fine, whatever.
But also, I think the other thing is that the force has rules. You have to be concentrating to use it, and if you try and do too much with it too hard too quickly, it can corrupt you and make you turn to the dark side. This didn't seem to have any consequence for using it. Oh, she can just bring people back to life for no reason.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know anything about it at all.
Yeah, we know nothing about it yet. Like, we don't know. She, because as far as we're aware, she was killed or is dead or something, so we don't know what had happened for that to happen.
Well, we weren't given a chance to, because it was kind of just dumped on us and then we moved on quickly.
Yeah. I get the feeling, though, that because this is going to be a two-part movie, they've really oddly spaced it out, but from what I've read, the plan is to do part one, Child of Fire, part two, Scargiver, and then mash them both together in the Snyder Cut to make a better movie.
And then when everyone hates it, you release the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's the plan. For me personally, I didn't mind the Griffin being there. It's fucking space. You want to have a Griffin? Fine, whatever. A Manticore? Cool, whatever. They're just animals in this world. They don't have to be like necessarily magical. But the existence of magic with no explanation, that's, yeah, I agree, something that was, like, definitely a missed opportunity. Like, I think, because the thing is, towards the end, we see New King, and he's got some kind of magic, right? He's got, like, Force Lightning going on.
Oh, yeah, but that was in a dream, maybe, I think. Because they put him in they put him in that vat of goo that made him not dead anymore. Again, we've skipped far ahead, but TLDR, good girl beats bad guy, he falls to his finger quotes death.
And she knocks his teeth out with his own bone stick.
Yeah, but they grew back as well, because I looked. I was like, he's supposed to have no teeth, right? And then at the end, they specifically show a thing of him with his mouth open, fully open, directly at the camera, so you can see his teeth.
That's something
back.
I actually wanted to get to, but I'll get to it. Okay, let's carry on. So we got hot Conan guy, John Carter of Mars, gets the Griffin, he's like, safe, cool, and then he buggers off. Then they go to see General Tullius. Is it Tullius?
Tigress, I think.
General Mans.
General Tigress.
Yeah, they go to see General insanely buff Mans. And
not as buff as Prince, like.
I know, RJ was looking.
He had more definition, but he wasn't as, like, built, if you know what I mean. Like, you could tell that Prince whatever had muscles for, like, working, and Commander whatever had muscles for, like, looking good.
Commander whatever.
And anyway, the point is,
again,
they go there. Yeah, go on, RJ.
It's the thing where, like, he had a deal. I don't know what his deal was.
So, no, like, they do say he worked for the Space Empire Nazi guys.
Yeah.
But then he had a change of heart and surrendered.
Yeah, but it's never explained what happened between that and him ending up gladiator fighting. Yeah, when he works for Space Nazis movie. Who kill their own men for literally nothing. And yeah, we're supposed to believe this guy just, like, full on rage quit war in the middle of war and then got let off for it.
No. So he and all his platoon said, actually, we're on the wrong side of the war here. We all surrender. His platoon all got killed somehow. They don't mention it too much.
Uh-huh.
And then he, like, went off into a drunken stupor living on a gladiator world, which is also full of hot, half-naked men for some reason.
There's a theme here.
Yeah, there's a theme going on here, really.
It's like Quentin Tarantino with feet. After a certain point, you start thinking there's more to it than...
You notice patterns.
Mm.
You can't be in a Zack Snyder movie unless you're buff and oiled up. But also
and,
dirty.
And dirty, yeah. I don't know, Quentin Tarantino had a thing for dirty feet as well.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Right, so anyway, Quentin Tarantino's dirty feet fetish aside. We get General Mann, whose entire conversation is, I don't want to do it anymore. Yes, you do, because we're doing it. Okay.
Fine.
And that's it. That's the whole
thing. Yeah, they didn't actually convince him in any way other than...
Like, shut up, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we gave you a wash, now you have to help us.
It says here on page 37 of the script, you come with us, so fucking get up.
Yeah. Well,
I guess I have to.
Get your pants on, you've pulled.
So, is he the last guy? Oh, no, the last guys are the ones that King Crabface.
Yeah, King Crabface and the Rebels.
The Rebels who also, like, so there are two Rebels.
There's, that would have been a far better title for this movie.
What, King Crabface
and the Rebels? King Crabface and the Rebels, yeah.
So we've got these two sibling rebel leaders, right? One of whom is a woman who doesn't do anything, I guess. And the other one is a man with a voice that does not suit his body, but is still very hot.
Mm.
He's wearing clothes.
I think I described him as how I wish I looked. I think I called him Captain Cool Name as well.
Yeah. Like, his sister doesn't do anything. They both turn up and we're like, we're a pair of like hard mercenary, hard rebels. Okay, well, I'm not going to help you. So peace out.
Yeah.
And the dog's like, I would love to die, actually. If we could have that, if we could get that happening, can I come and die in a cool way? But yeah, no problem.
Don't worry about it.
So the sister just buggers off, and the brother takes about 20 people, and his rousing speech is literally, who wants to come die?
Mm.
It's like, okay.
Not very inspiring.
Yeah. And yet.
And yet.
Gets all.
I mean, I'd follow him. That voice is pretty hot.
All the volunteers.
Like, if they'd given his sister a hotter voice, I think more people would stay behind.
Yeah, and then...
So then, it's a trap, right?
Sudden but inevitable betrayal time.
Now, that is the only part of this whole movie that was, like, original. Because I didn't see the Han Solo guy betraying them. Not even when he was wearing a virgin killer sweater on the ship. For some reason.
I don't know. It was very difficult to get any of the characters' intentions in this other than the bad guys.
I was just doing it all by like, well, that's Han Solo. He's doing Han Solo stuff. That's...
Han Solo is a charming rogue. He would have betrayed his friends if the price was right.
Well, I mean, he was offered. He was offered and didn't. Whereas Lando did, but he didn't know it was going to go so far.
Lando sort of did. Like,
Lando
he betrayed
totally
them. Yeah, he betrayed them, but not for money. He betrayed them because he wanted the Empire off his goddamn space station.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, they get betrayed, Kosh sudden little betrayal. They get put into, frankly, these really cool, like, prisoner transport things.
I did like the walking mech things.
Yeah,
they
were cool.
Yes.
For
very, very impractical and slow, but yeah, that's fine.
For those that haven't seen it and have no intention of, basically, there's, how do you describe them? They're like mechs, but they're a chair? Like, imagine...
Yeah.
Not even a chair, it's more like a piece of torture equipment.
Yeah, they're like...
a ironing board type thing.
They're like those lethal injection chairs they have in America.
It's a lethal injection chair with spider legs.
Yeah, and it just walks around and you can put a prisoner in it. And that was a cool concept, I like that.
Yeah, they were fun. But he betrays them. And then... I'm going to skip forward because a lot of dumb shit happens. They get out of the fight.
Yeah, there's a fight.
I don't need to go into the whole thing. He betrays them, and then they escape, and he dies. They kill him. Because the thing that makes the chair switch off is also a gun.
Yes, again, here's all the things you need to know. Firstly, everyone except me thought that the guns killed people in the chairs, because they hid it that well. Like, the chairs have a gun that goes with it, that goes in a slot in the back, and shoots a thing that severs the spine.
Yeah.
It's heavily implied in the first time you see it used that it kills people, with a very tiny blink and you'll miss it reference to it paralysing them instead. And then all through the movie you think that this this gun and this chair combo means that character is dead. And then right at the end, they're like, oh no, it just paralyzes them permanently.
I think they can do either. I think it's like, you know, turn it clockwise to paralyze, turn it anti-clockwise.
No, it's turn them clockwise to paralyze, anti-clockwise to release them for some reason.
Right, yeah. Maybe it's like,
what if you did it by accident?
Yeah, as I say, there's two dipshit, like, failures in user experience. So firstly, they made the gun that kills people also the key that releases them from the chair. And secondly, they gave the gun that kills or releases the prisoners to one of the rebels and said, ha ha ha, we're so evil, we're going to make you kill your friends. And he's like, I'm just going to release this guy. Cool.
The thing is, I thought when he gave him the gun, I was like, oh, it's a double cross. He's going to, like, oh yeah, go ahead and kill her. And he let him out. He was like, no, he just didn't do it.
Yeah. Because
there's nothing more where he goes like, I know you're in love with her. And everyone was just like,
yeah,
is he?
When was that as well?
When was that established?
Yeah. Even he didn't say anything. He was like, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Nobody assumed that he was in love with her.
Well, if you look at page 67 of the script.
I know how movies work,
nope,
so you
says
must be
right
in love
here,
with her.
Love interest. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, well, shit. Get your clothes off.
Like, I didn't dislike the movie, but I definitely... Yeah. It's painfully obvious this movie is half of a movie tossed out to garner interest or, you know, Snyder cut it at the end.
I think I would go so far as to say I did dislike it because it was just so fucking cynical.
Sai will not be joining us for part two then.
No.
Actually, no, he will.
Yes, he will.
Can make him.
We need someone to hate it all the way through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
no, I wouldn't say strong enough hate it. Because, you know, I've got better things to do with my energy, but... Ugh.
I mean, what if part two's a banger? That would be even worse.
Yeah, part two could entirely redeem part one.
I have no idea what it could do to redeem itself at this point.
Oh, you haven't heard, they introduced Captain Badger Fox for...
The addition of Captain Badger Fox.
Yeah, what if they bring in, like, a hot Badger Fox captain?
Even the addition
who's
of
also
Captain
dirty
Badger
and sweaty.
Fox. They just got my fucking character in there.
Yeah, just you offer throws it straight in the movie.
Well,
being cool.
I think I would sue them at that point. Hey Netflix,
they
where's my check?
This is four aliens. One's a kobold. One's an otter. One's a fish. Weird. That's another thing as well. Actually, speaking of alien creatures, is that. You can watch the budget for this movie go down.
Yes.
Like it starts off with so much money. Like, the cantina scene has, like, four different aliens, a whole cool CG thing, and by the end of it, you're like, God, can you stand in front of this green screen, mate? And just punch
him. And then by the end of it, they're using dogs and birds.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can pinpoint in the movie
CGI
when
budget runs.
The budget started getting low, because there's Captain Crabface's planet is literally just an orb with random floating blocks in the background. With the same repeating texture.
Yeah, King Crabface's planet looks like a Winamp skin.
Yeah. That's when they started hitting the Chinese sweatshop for get these scenes done quickly.
It's fine. I'd say it's a solid... If it wasn't on Netflix, if it was in the cinema, I'd be more annoyed. But whatever, man. I got Netflix. It's there. It didn't cost me anything extra.
Yeah.
Solid 5.
Yeah.
It's fine to watch.
I'd say 5,
like,
maybe...
In the background.
Apprehensive 6 if part 2 is good.
If
part 2 redeems it, then I'll bump it up. I'll bump up part 1 by proxy.
A 6 or even a 7 for me is if any of the characters talk to each other. Because once they get picked up, they just go into storage.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no, like, oh, Nemesis doesn't really get on with, Prince Hotboy or Captain Bald Man doesn't trust Irish Han Solo. Nothing happens. No. I don't even remember seeing them once they got picked up. There's a whole bit where Legend of Korra is talking to Irish Han Solo on the bridge of the ship. And I'm like, where's everybody else? There's like 8 people in the ship.
They're all in cold storage until they're
apparently
relevant.
So... Yeah, I think that would have... If there had been more characterization, then sure, more points. But as it stands, it's a 5. It's a... Sure, I've got a Netflix account.
Yeah.
It's got some great Foley.
Yeah, that's true. Expect to see that Foley turn up.
It's very good. No.
You can't stop me.
It's got some great Foley that we can't steal from Netflix.
Yeah, we can.
It's very good visually. Good Foley, good spaceships. But... don't waste your fucking thought on it. Just put it on in the background as just some brain
rot. Yeah, go. Yeah. I'd say it's worth a watch, but not if you have anything else to do.
No.
If anything else, wait for part two to come out, and at least then you can be like, well, altogether it's one good movie.
Yeah.
And that's only it's out in April, so it's not even far.
Yeah.
Are we going to wait until April for part two? I'm not going to remember any of it by then.
That's right. You don't remember any of it right now. So.
we can't remember his name. We're calling him more like Captain Buffbody.
Yeah. And that's how little of an impact it had on us.
It doesn't matter if you remember later on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so let's go around scores. Si, what's your out of 10?
Out of 10, what's the context here? What am I basing
what's your
out
score?
10 is good, 1 is not good.
Yeah.
Well, based on what?
Based on
what did you think?
Do you think it was good or not?
Well, what based on like against Star Wars? What are we
against? Like, sitting around staring at a wall.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I'm gonna give that movie a 5 out of 10. It is middle of the road fine.
Yeah.
I don't know, 3.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say I'm gonna give it apprehensive 6, contingent on the second part actually like resolving a lot of this stuff. If the second part is garbage and doesn't resolve any of this, then they're both getting like a 4.
Oh, I didn't realize we could change the scores.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can change the score if the second part is good. I think if you want to say you're giving it a 6. Once you're giving a 6, that's cool. And then, like, as the movie altogether, once the second one comes out, we can be like, oh, well, now altogether, it's a 7.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Cool. Okay, so now it's a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So, you know, we've got 3, 5, and 6. If you already have Netflix and you like sci-fi stuff, check it out. It's got, you know what, I will say some of the costumes are great. The costumes are really
good. Yeah, costumes are good. Spaceship design is good. Yeah. Definitely need to start being less racy.
Visually great.
It is absolutely a world that I would just play a tabletop RPG campaign in. Like, someone's like, here's this world, you can be another character. I'd be like, cool, great, that's fine.
Visually great narrative trash. That's my headline.
Yeah. But there you go. If you were looking forward to seeing Rebel Moon, watch Space Reapers instead. No, that's seriously it. If you're gonna watch Rebel Moon, watch Space Reapers instead, and then go and watch Star Wars: A New Hope.
If you're looking forward to seeing Rebel Moon, sorry.
Yeah. you're looking forward to Rebel Moon, you're wrong, and that's fine.
Oh no,
you didn't know any better, but we're here to help you.
Mm. Oh god, you sound like a nostalgia critic.
Yeah, god, okay, I hate that. Well, I mean, I'm remembering, so you don't have to. So there's that.
Fate worse than death.
Not ideal. Cool, but that was a woman from us.
Yeah.
Now, before we sign off, we had one question in from one of our patient supporters about the last campaign. RJ, about your campaign, actually.
You hit me.
So, I've got it right here, and I'm not filling time so I can find it because I lost it, because that would be, you know, silly of me.
Amateurish.
I'm extremely amateurish, but that's good because I didn't do that.
How about that local sports team?
Yeah. I'm very confused by the local sports team. They're very good. And here we go. So, Regent. Or is it Reagent?
Regent. Marshall. Regent? Hello, Marshall.
Wait, is it Regent or Regent?
The Regent's his screen name. I just call it. His character's name is Marshall, so I'll just say Marshall.
Catboy.
Okay. Bobski,
Catboy Regent Bobski Marshall
asks,
how much of Absalom from Wolf in Kashmir was homebrew, and how much was from the source material? Now, RJ, this is for you, because it was your campaign.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead?
So, I'd say, aesthetically, when I describe how the space station looks, that's 100% just based on one picture that Paizo put out of how Absalom Station looks. Except, as with everything in the Starfinder universe, I made it about maybe 150% bigger. Because they're like, oh, this space station is supposed to be a floating city with millions of residents. It is 2 kilometers across. 2 kilometers is not a city. Yeah. 2 kilometers is a neighborhood.
Well, it's long, right? It's long as well.
Yeah, it has
It's
depth.
A disc. It's a disc. Like, it's like a... It's literally the Great Turtle Atuin, but made out of metal.
Yeah, but it can be 2 kilometers across and, like, 8 kilometers deep.
That's not how it looks in the one picture that Paizo made, where...
Yeah, dude, okay, I'm going to put a picture in here. I'm not sure you...
It's teeny-weeny in the picture.
I think Si's right. I think it's, like, got, like, it's got depth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a three-dimensional structure, but it's...
What I thought.
No, it's not a 2D structure, that's not what we mean.
I mean, yeah, because you can have cities that are 2 kilometres long, but they're flat.
Yeah,
space stations are three-dimensional.
Yeah, but even still, based on the photos, it's not... It, like, it's 2 kilometers long and then 2 kilometers high, maybe, or something, isn't it? But
it's definitely
TLDR. Okay. I thought that was crap, so I made it like much bigger. But aesthetically, it's about the same. And in terms of the grungy areas of it, I don't know if that's canon or not. I just had
that's the spike.
The spike's the nice bit. Oh, you mean the bottom spike?
No, the spike's the spike's the
sorry.
Not
it
nice
has
bit,
two. It has two spikes. It's got the top spike, which is full of rich pricks, and the bottom spike, which is like the scum class area. But they don't really go into too much depth about, like...
I would like to take this point to say that just because people have means does not mean they're pricks, but I understand the way that we work.
No, it's specifically the rich pricks area in that
it's
you go there to fight a rich prick.
Yeah. That's canon.
Oh, you mean for R1? For
yeah.
R1? Yes, yes, yes.
So yeah, I'd say maybe aesthetically I took 70%, everything else I made up. But again, and this is slightly off topic, but it's the same deal as with Conqueror's Forge. Like, when, what was it? I think in the official Paizo rulebooks, Conqueror's Forge is like 600 meters long or something. And I was like, well, this is bullshit. It's supposed to be the flying weapon of doom.
Wait, 600 meters?
Hold on. I need to Google this
sure
to get the number
dude,
right. But...
Are you getting your. 600 meters is not long.
No.
I remember looking at the official stats for
you
Conqueror's
mean
Forge.
Kilometers?
No, that's the thing. I remember looking at the stats for Conqueror's Forge. Oh, yeah. Conqueror's Forge is a cylinder about 2.5 miles long. 2.5 miles, fuck off.
I can fire a Nerf dart farther than that.
Exactly. So I said, actually, it's 2.5 miles in diameter because it's a cylinder. So since long is not a technically defined measurement, like I decided long to mean circumference, and it's actually like 5 or 6 miles actual length. Because then that makes it useful. Because, yeah 2.5
like
miles long makes it smaller than a capital ship, which is supposed to be
like
built
a
inside
Dyson
it.
Cylinder on the inside of it. And just
yeah,
the
whole deal with like Conqueror's Forge is that it's basically meant to be an orbital moon that can move
it's
around.
It's a Death Star.
Yeah, it's meant to be a Death Star. And they're like, oh yeah, it's 2.5 miles long. Fuck off, 2.5
miles.
Oh
shit, they've got something called the Overlord engine? That's awesome sounding.
Oh, are you reading up on Conqueror's Forge?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Conqueror's... I was just like, the Overlord engine is sick.
Yeah, Conqueror's Forge is... I think this is just everything in Paizo. Oh my god, my edit's still there.
Your edit's still there?
Oh, you edited the wiki.
Yeah, in the Starfinder wiki, I edited the Conqueror's Forge stat panel on the side to change length to diameter. For 2.5 miles, and it's still there.
Oh my god, it is still there.
Okay, so no one's fixed it.
Yeah, that's canon now.
Technically, it is canon, I guess.
Yeah,
so
I made Conqueror's Forge bigger.
We feel like it.
You made it canon.
Yes, I did.
There you go.
I love the idea the Pact World Alliance have got like the stats for Conqueror's Forge, like just off ref sheet, and then they look at it and it doesn't match what they've got in their dust.
I mean, that would make sense though, right? If you hadn't,
why is it
system,
bigger?
You'd be like, well, we're not going to everything. Oh, sure, it's 2 miles long. Don't come over and look at it.
They do what the U.S. military do and tell
Lie
the public
all the time.
What. No, just tell the public what their military tech can do, but vastly underestimate what it can do.
Yeah, of course. Still, that was our question for a reason. I think we'll do like one question per one of these. It's fine.
Yeah, unless we get loads, in which case we can probably bump it up to two.
Well, no, because if we get loads, we'll use them in like, you know, drift sessions and stuff. But I think one question just like casually is fun.
Okay, fine.
Alrighty.
So yeah, ask us shit and we will answer.
Yeah. Ask us shit and we'll answer it, yeah.
That's what the patron's for.
Yeah. Speaking of the patron, obviously this is our second banter break. I'd like to say thank you for, you know, being here and enjoying and checking out and stuff. One thing I would like to know is, do you guys prefer to have the show up on the Patreon itself? It's not like we can do, like, you know, ad-free versions, because we don't do ads for, you know... We don't do... What is it? We don't do, like, MeUndies. We don't do...
Raid Shadow Legends. Although, like I said, I would like to do one Raid Shadow Legends promo as a joke.
No.
Especially if they actually pay us for it. Because
we'll make up... Yeah, we can do it as a joke and then get paid for it, which makes it... but yeah, I think we can make a game up. We can make something up and just be like, cool. I would recommend, if anyone is interested in that kind of thing, Adam from Emergency Power Podcast did some amazing adverts for Horizons Unknown, which is all on YouTube. He did all the intros and outros and stuff, and he also helped me out with some of the adverts you'll be hearing in upcoming Carmageddon. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that. If you like the Zuki ones from Chemical Divinity, enjoy these.
Me.
All right, cool. Well, I think that's it, guys.
Yep.
Are we good?
That is. What? And podcast. What we've done.
Yes. And again, if you are thinking about watching Rebel Moon, yeah, do enjoy it, whatever, but just don't expect too much.
No, switch your brain off. Get some whiskey or something.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is a good idea.
Yeah, we should actually get some whiskey right now.
No, it is a Sunday.
Well, that's great. What are you talking about? Okay, we're going to go drink some whiskey, guys, so thanks for listening.
Thanks for the inspiration, Rebel Moon.